Welcome, everyone, to another edition of Community in Depth. We are so happy because on the phone with us, we have Council Member Tina Fulch. She is going to give us a recap of the most recent City Council meeting in the City of Hastings, and we are grateful for your time today. How are you?
Hi, Mo. I am doing terrific. Thanks for inviting me back for another recap
of
our latest council meeting.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So, Tina, tell us a little bit about yourself, first of all, who you represent, and then in the interest of fairness, we want to say you are up for re-election, but you are running unopposed, so we're not giving we're not giving you free airtime, right?
I didn't even think about that, but hey. No. So there's a total of 6 council members and then the mayor. And so 4 of the council members represent specific wards within Hastings. So there's Ward 1, 2, 3, and 4. So I represent Ward 1, which is everything east of Highway 61, pretty much from the bridge, the river bridge, all the way down to where Highway 316 splits off. And so kind of everything, almost everything behind Duke Arrows and then east of Highway 316. So, yeah, so it's easy geographically to figure out, the area that I represent. And then so the other 3 wards, they're all on the west side, obviously. And so it just gets a little hairier and you have to look at the map to see, where all of those lines are drawn. But so the 4 of us, we are up for election this year. The other 2 positions are called the at-large positions. And those council members are currently Council Member Lori Brox and Mark Vaughn, and they were reelected to their positions just 2 years ago. So that's how the elections for the council members get broken up. The at-large go every 2 years, and then the other 4 council members that represent the specific wards are in the off 2 years. And so, anywho, we're up this year. And I was surprised that only one of the wards this year had a challenger.
And have you had challengers in the past?
Well, I was elected, I began in 2016, and so that's been my first 4-year term. So this is the first time that I've run for re-election. For my council seat, you may remember 2 years ago, I had run for the House seat for the House of Representatives to represent District 54B. And so I came really close. I lost within 2% of the vote. If I could have just flipped like an extra 220 seats, I would have taken that. 220 votes. I would have taken the seat, but as luck would have it, that didn't work out. And so I decided not to run for the House again this year, and rather stay as a council member because I'm very committed, obviously to our community. And my oldest boy, it was his senior year this last year, and there was just no way in heck I wanted to miss any of his hockey season or any of the extra, mom duties as being the mom of a captain of the hockey team, to be able to, help plan events and for the team and keeping parents connected and such. And so, I don't regret it at all whatsoever. So, here I am.
Here you are. And how was the final couple of months for school for your son?
Well, my kid's really unique. He was actually planning to go play in the junior hockey league during the second semester of his senior year. And so he actually finished up at the high school with his last class at the end of the first semester. And then he was taking post-secondary education through Inver Hills Community College, and so he was taking two classes online so that when the hockey season was done, he could go straight to Aberdeen, South Dakota to go play in Aberdeen for the Wings there. Actually, so he left. He went to Aberdeen for a week, and then the NHL, National Hockey League, they canceled the season, and then the juniors canceled just a few days later. And so the poor kiddo, he was there for a week, and so his dreams kind of came to a temporary standstill, and he's been home since. But it's just been as hard for him as it has been for any of the other kids who missed. He still would have been able to attend prom and not being able to see his friends and missing all the graduation parties. We haven't had a graduation party for him. And poor kids, they really, it's just really unfair that they've lost out on those most memorable moments of the, you know, the last months of their senior year.
Right, because of this crazy pandemic. And so do you want to give us a little recap of what you talked about at your last meeting?
Sure, yeah, terrific. Well, there were two primary things that we discussed. At the beginning of our council meeting, there was a presentation that was done by Rainbow Tree Care. And so folks maybe remember receiving in the mail a postcard that said from Rainbow Tree Care that they're out and about in our community and they're doing treatments of our ash trees to fight against emerald ash borer. A few months ago, Rainbow Tree Care had come to a council meeting to give us an update on where our city has been, you know, with individual private residents contracting with them to actually have their ash treated to fight EAB. And so from there, I made the request if they could come back and talk about the economic impacts to our community and so that the council could have a better understanding as to what it is we're going to be experiencing with the die-off of our ash trees. And so it's really eye-opening. I had known personally a lot of this background information. I was hoping, you know, to enlighten more of the council members so that they were aware of really what we have in store of us. So the presentation really focused on what's going to happen to the ash trees that are in the right-of-way along the street. So technically the city owns the right-of-way, but our ordinance in our city says that it is the property owner that's responsible for the trees that reside in the right-of-way. And typically what happens is there's a cost sharing for the upkeep of those trees where it's a 60-40 split. And so, like, for instance, if there was a lightning storm and you had one of those trees knocked down in the boulevard and it had to be taken away, the city would share that cost with the resident. But in the case of emerald ash borer, a few years ago, the city had changed the ordinance. It had been modified that it was the responsibility of homeowners to treat trees within the right-of-way to, you know, fend off any kind of disease, which, you know, specifically is meant for emerald ash borer. And then, if a resident decided not to go ahead with that treatment plan, you know, for emerald ash borer, it's the full responsibility of the resident for the removal of the tree, you know, once it dies. And so what I wanted everyone to be able to understand was what we're facing if the city doesn't take some proactive step to intervene. When a few months ago, when Rainbow Tree Care had come, what they showed us was a map, a pin map of the city and where they've been doing their treatments. And as I had mentioned at the beginning of our conversation, the area that I represent is everything that's on the east side of Highway 61. The actual infestation of emerald ash borer began along the railroad tracks down in the Cowtown, you know, the east side neighborhood. And so it's spread. So it's actually started on the east side and over by Lake Isabel and has been spreading through our community first, you know, hitting, you know, Ward 1 the most. But when you look at where the treatments have been taking place, the least amount of treatments have been taking place on the east side of Highway 61. The majority of them have been taking place on the west side, more in the areas that are over by like 15th Street and westward from there. And so it's really, you know, startling when you consider that a quarter of our trees in Hastings are actually ash trees. Mm. And what we're looking at is that we have a little over 1,000 ash trees that are currently in the boulevard. What we were told is that what Rainbow Tree Care has seen in other communities, and, you know, this all started in Michigan. So Michigan was first decimated, and it's made its way here to Minnesota. And on average, it takes about 10 years for all of the ash trees within a community to become infected and die. And so we're already on that trend. We're in about year three of the infection being within Hastings. All of Hastings is now officially considered infected with emerald ash borer. And so what's really startling is, if you could see the bell curve that was provided to us, he actually called it the death curve for the trees. And so we're going to just now, in years like 4, 5, 6, and 7, we'll really start to see a quick die-off of the trees within the community.
So when you say that people are having their trees treated, will that save them?
It will. If you have professionally an injection treatment provided to your tree, it will for sure preserve your tree for 2 years. There's a 2-year guarantee on the tree, and then you have to have an application redone. On the third year, for sure, you want to have that done to maintain, you know, that warranty on the tree through Rainbow Tree Care, so that the tree continues to live. If we don't treat the trees, they will most certainly die. And we all remember what happened with the, you know, Dutch elm disease.
Yes.
I was a young child at the time, but, you know, it's pretty hard to find an elm tree these days. And that's exactly what we're going to experience here in Hastings.
Well, you know, that's good to know. So should we contact Rainbow Tree Care directly? Should we contact the city? How do you want us to proceed?
Sure. I would encourage everyone to contact Rainbow Tree Care directly. You can just Google Rainbow Tree Care and it'll come up. And just tell them that you're a Hastings resident. The city does have pre-negotiated lower rates with Rainbow Tree Care. You can have anyone do it if, you know, you look around and you want to shop around. But when I've shopped around, I've found that, you know, Rainbow Tree Care has had the lowest price that I've been able to find. So, yeah, they'll come out and they'll treat your tree. They'll give it a 2-year warranty. And it doesn't just have to be a boulevard tree. It could actually, you know, just be any tree within your yard. The city does have a forester. And so if folks have questions, they can call the city's, you know, park and rec department and ask if they could, have a conversation with a staff member, the city forester. Yeah, there's a lot of information that's already on there. If you go to the Rainbow Tree Care website, they'll have, you know, pictures of what, you know, EAB looks like, and how to tell when your tree starts to, you know, come under stress. You'll notice that the tree will start to bald at the very top of the tree first, and then it'll begin to lose leaves throughout the rest of the tree. And you don't want to let it get too far, because it's, you know, it's an aggressive pest, and it can quickly kill a tree, you know, within, you know, one season. And so if you suspect that your tree may be an ash tree and that it does look distressed, it's well worth looking into. And it may not be too late. You know, it's kind of like having, you know, the cold. You know, sometimes you have the cold and you start coming down with, you know, the symptoms, and you want to pump up on vitamins and things of that nature to fight back. And so you can still fight back. The tree still has some resilience to be able to fight back, even if it does begin to have an infestation. So what we were looking at were two scenarios. What if the city does nothing and doesn't treat any of those boulevard trees, and we don't have an accurate count as to how many individual homeowners are actually treating boulevard trees, but it's probably, as a minority of the trees that are being currently treated. And so what we looked at is, if the city does nothing and allows all those trees to die, the total cost over 10 years for those trees dying will be $1.1 million for their removal and for new trees to be put in place. Whereas Rainbow Tree Care, when they showed us if we just treated at least 75% of those trees, the cost gets cut in half. So proactively treating the trees and maintaining the trees is cheaper than allowing them all to die and cut them down.
So if there is a tree that has the ash borer on the boulevard, do you split the cost with the city of treating it, or how does that work?
Currently, the city doesn't. It's completely the responsibility of the homeowner to treat the tree and maintain that over the long term. I have an ash tree in my backyard, just as a for instance, and it is ginormous. I was told that it was in the biggest 1% of ash trees.
Wow.
And just to give you a sense that it cost me $350 to have the tree treated for 2 years. And then I did actually have someone come by and look at, because I was like, okay, well, how much is it going to cost me to remove that thing if I let it die? And it was, he laughed at me, first of all, and he wouldn't give me an exact quote because the tree is so large, going over two houses. And he told me it'd be at least $2,000 to $3,000 to remove the tree. So I figured, you know what?
Right.
It's a beautiful tree. It provides tons of shade, you know, for my property. And when I started looking at the financials, it's like it only makes sense to continue to keep the tree alive. So it'd be less than that. I think on average, it's about, you know, $200 to treat an individual tree. And, you know, it was the irony of it has been that I actually have treated it now for the last 3 years. Last fall, I cut down a bough that was in a bad spot. And so I cut it down and I realized that a section of the tree branches had already died. And when I peeled back the bark, I found the emerald ash borer larvae, the marker of them underneath the bark. So yeah, I'm thankful that I treated the tree because, you know, maybe they can get in there a little bit and do a little damage, but otherwise that, you know, the tree is able to defend itself. And so my tree already would be infected had I not been treating it, and it would be onto that road of death in the next, you know, year or two had I not treated it. And so, yeah, it's moving quickly through the community, and we'll really begin to see a lot of dead trees coming our way unless folks get, you know, begin to take steps to combat it. So, and if you do have a boulevard tree, before you can, you know, cut a boulevard tree, you do have to contact the city's forester to get permission. We don't want people just cutting down trees right into the street, you know, where the public is moving around. And so people have to be really mindful about, you know, what decisions they want to make with the trees. They want to take them down themselves, pay, you know, someone to take it down as it dies, or if they want to treat it. Yeah, folks really have to give a lot of thought to that.
Well, we appreciate it. Tina, we are out of time, and Rainbow Tree Care can be reached at 952-922-3810. So we will get that information out to people as well. Very important topic. Thanks for shedding light on this.
No problem, though. Yeah, anything to help spread the word. Like I said, it's 25% of our tree canopy, and so I just don't want anybody to be caught off guard that they didn't know about it as it's coming down the pike.
Well, we appreciate it. Tina Fault, she is council member in Ward 1 of Hastings. We appreciate her time today. And you are listening to another edition of Community in Depth on AM 1460 and FM 97.7 KDWA in Hastings.